for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, July the 3rd, 2005. Fourth of July week family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Alberta Batts of Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds is the minister of this service.
In the basement of this building is the greatest collection of tapes of the charismatic movement in the world. And Kevin has started to resurrect some of them, and we hope in time to resurrect a lot of them. And he has gotten together a set of tapes here of Bob Mumford that I taped at World Map Convention Camp Meeting in Big Bear, California. I think it was 1967, I think. It probably will say on here where it was. But Kevin has a series of seven tapes of Bob Mumford's. I don't know how many of you lived to hear Bob Mumford. He's still living. He was a wonderful, wonderful teacher. And this series of tapes is called Understanding the Promised Land, the Principles and Purposes of Temptation. And how many of you ever heard Bob Mumford? A few of you. He is a natural TV speaker. When he speaks, you will not lose interest in what he's doing, because he not only talks, but he acts out what he's talking about. Anyway, Kevin's got this set of seven tapes of Bob Mumford's, and they're a wonderful set of tapes. And to those of you who are interested in the ministries of the charismatic movement and of the others, why, here's a wonderful set of tapes. They're back on the table. Huh? That's right. I have to get used to that. I'm not used to CDs. I've worked all my life with tapes, and now then Kevin's got CDs, and I don't have to work like I used to, and it's wonderful. But the majority of people today are using CDs instead of cassette tapes, and so we're trying to accommodate what the people want. We'll have dinner whenever Sister Cheryl says amen, and we trust that they'll bring the young people up in time to have them out of the way a little sooner. That I'm going to have them serve them lunch a few minutes earlier than they did today, so that we can have more room in there for serving the rest of us. But it's wonderful that we have this wonderful group of young people at this camp meeting. It is wonderful. There was 45 of them in there this morning, and that is wonderful. And I praise the Lord for it. Okay, I'm going to sit down and put Miss Cheryl up here, and she's going to lay it on you. She does it very well. Cheryl Batts, to some of you who haven't met her, she's been serving the Lord faithfully, helping us out here for 5 or 6 years, and we appreciate it. She's also the head of the, you tell them a minute about that.
Okay.
Cheryl?
All right.
You do a better job than I do.
Okay. Okay. What Glenn is saying is that when I'm not out at the camp, I'm founder and CEO for an organization called Phoebe, P-H-O-E-B-E, which was actually taken from Romans 16, 1 and 2. When I was, when God was delivering me and I was concerned about who I was, he said that my name was Phoebe. And so we wanted to get an acronym for that because, oh, you know, we said Phoebe, we can use it as an acronym. The Lord has called me to be a bridge builder, so it stands for people helping others excel by example. And basically what we do is we are documenting the African-American presence in Hot Springs because it's never been done before. It's a really unique experience because you come up against a lot of different kinds of devils on both sides of the fence. So it's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's something that God told me to do because it needed to be done. And you'd be surprised at what the kinds of things that you have to face as you begin to bring truth into a situation where truth has never been. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. It's just another form of deliverance, believe me, another form of ministry that God has given to me. We work with our seniors and we videotape their old histories and we let the children interview them and tell their stories about what it was like growing up in Hot Springs when they were young. And it's been very successful and we just believe in God to get all to widen us up so that we'll be able to see the full picture of what he wants to happen with all this information. Amen? Amen. All right, let's go before the Lord in just a word of prayer. Father God, we just come to you this afternoon in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree that you may increase right now, Father God, and that the people of God will get the word that you want them to have. I pray, Father God, that that they will be delivered and that they will be set free. I pray for their hearts and their minds and their souls to be receptive to receive this word. Father, we cast down every idea and every thought about what we think it should be, what the word ought to be. We bind and break all preconceived notions and ideas, Father God, right now in Jesus' name. And we ask that your perfect will would be made manifest in the house this afternoon. Father, we thank you because you are the healer, you are the deliverer, you are Jehovah Rapha, you are Jehovah Shalom, you are El Shaddai, you are the high and breasty one. And we just love you and we praise you, we give you all of the glory, we give you all of the honor. There is none like you. You are Lord of Lords, you are King of Kings, and we thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that by his stripes we are healed. We thank you that there is power in the blood of Jesus and that there is deliverance in your word, God. And we look forward to receiving it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. This afternoon, I believe that God wants to speak to you about executing judgment on the kings in your life. Now, there are high-ranking spirits called kings. A king is one that holds an eminent position. So that means that whatever is in your heart that is high-ranking that causes you to be or do anything other than what God would have you to be or do is a king. See, when God sits on the throne of your heart, then you are what the Bible says you are and you do what the Bible tells you to do. Obedience is your main thing. But now if you have a bit of a problem with that, and you find yourself slipping and sliding every now and then, not exactly being obedient, trying to cut the word and take half the word and not all of the word, then something else is sitting on the throne of your heart. And what we want to do is, with the word of God, expose who those kings are so you can dethrone them. You know that God will and can, just by the move of the Holy Ghost, do anything in our lives that he wants to do. Many of us have already been delivered from things that we did not think we were going to get delivered from just like that. But some things we have to be responsible for because it's not necessarily a total demonic bondage. It's kind of tied in with your will and not his will, your way and not his way. So those are the ones that you have to watch out for. Those are the ones that you have to get off the throne of your heart so that you can move into the place of servanthood to the one and only true living God. Amen? So we have today to search our soul, search the mind, the will, and the emotions, and our body, and decide which kings are reigning in the areas of our mind, will, emotion, and body. Now, Satan has assigned assigned a king to each area in your life. Now, remember when Joshua went to fight the battle? They took 33 cities. Each city had a king. Pigs in the parlor. Demons don't run by themselves. Oh, I just got one little demon. Well, wherever there's a king, there's going to be what? A court. Yeah, jesters. There's going to be a court. If there's a king, there's a court. So pigs in the parlor, one pig? No, there's got to be more than one pig. There's going to be one pig, two pigs, three pigs. So if you have a king in your heart, if not, and you say, oh, I only have one demon, not so. The king always has messengers and people that the king is sending out to do different things for him. Is that not correct? Okay, so you're not just going to have one king, but you got the king and his court that have set up a throne room in your heart. Ooh-wee. Well, let us go to Job 41 and 34. Let's just start right there. This is always a favorite king because he's the one that everybody seems to think that it's only one of. 41 and 34. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. So what are we talking about here? Leviathan. In this chapter, we're talking about God is talking to us and talking about God's great power over Leviathan in chapter 41. And he's talking to Job and telling him about, you know, how inadequate he is and how much nerve he had to really come and ask he God questions about why things were going wrong in his life. Because the example he used was, if you don't ask the crocodile why the crocodile is running up on your property and stealing your chickens and will chase you down and eat you up, and you know that you can't kill the crocodile with stones, you can't kill the crocodile with your arrows. So if you're not going to question the crocodile about his behavior, why are you questioning me, says God to Job? Because did I not make the crocodile? And then it goes on to describe how God made the crocodile. Okay, so we're going to call the crocodile Leviathan because that's the name that God gave Leviathan. And when you think about the picture that God has given us in the book of Job about Leviathan, we not only see that it has scales that are so closely knitted together that you can't get him from the back, you can't get him from the underground. If you try to go in from the left, he has teeth on this side and teeth on that side. And he's strong, and when he rises up, they say he can run 25, 30 miles an hour, just zap right on land, let alone what he can do in water. So just think about that. The scales of Leviathan, it says right here in this verse, it says, the children of pride. So that means Leviathan is the king of pride, and if he is the king of pride, then we have just said before that he has to have what? A court. So he has other demons of pride that are operating with him. How about if we talk about the spirit of pride, then you have to talk about doubt, unbelief, skepticism, distrust, exhaustion, tiredness, weariness, laziness, forgetfulness, frustration, depression, oppression. These are all the children of pride. The ladies and I discovered that under all of these demons that are being talked about, they all circle back around and become schizophrenic, the schizophrenia grouping. We've all read Pigs in the Parlor, right? We know about that. Right. So when you begin to look at executing judgment on the kings that are in your life, don't fool yourself into thinking I've only got one. If there is one, there are others. One is the Leviathan. Outside of Leviathan, there are others that will run in your life and run rapid. And the funny part about it, and it's not really funny, is that we get caught up on the manifestation of the one thing without realizing that they all tie together and they all work together in order to what? to bind you up, to tie you up, to take away your joy, to do exactly what the devil is supposed to do, to steal, kill, and destroy. I was surprised to see that one of the kings that is in the Bible that will attack us and take place in our hearts is disease, asthma, because how many times have you heard people say, my diabetes, my blood pressure? All of a sudden, this disease is king in your heart, because it's in your heart that you believe. It's in your heart that you have faith. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you say that it's yours, then it must have taken up place in your heart, because you just what? You just spoke it. You just claimed it. So I guess you're going to get it a birth certificate and take it home and feed it. We need to watch what we say. Be careful of what you say and recognize when you are talking. Listen to yourself and you will know who the king is that sits on your heart. If you're the kind of person that preempts everything you say about, you know, I want to do this, but I'm scared, you know, that if I do that, then this is going to happen. And, you know, and if I don't do that, then this is going to happen. So what you have done is you've made fear the king on your heart. You can't do nothing now because you're scared if you do and you're scared if you don't. So you're cycling around in this circle and the devil is going, come on now. Come on now with this carrot in front of you, this vision, this dream that God has given you to accomplish and to do all of the things that he wants you to do. Your destiny is caught up in this thing. But you won't reach your destiny because the king of fear is on the throne of your heart. And every time you open your mouth, that's what you say. I'm scared. I would do this, but what's the but? What's the but all about? When you find yourself going, I would do this, but then obviously you don't have a clear picture of what God is telling you to do. Because when you have a clear picture of who you are, a clear picture of what God is telling you to do, a clear picture of where you want to go, there are no buts. You move into what God is telling you to do. You move into what God is telling you to do, and that's it. He said it, that's it. You go for it. So the kings in your heart will cause you to miss your destiny. So you must execute judgment against them. In Psalms 149 and 8, let's see what it says in Psalms 149 and 8 about how to execute judgment. 149 and 8, it says to bind what? Their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. So within the court are nobles. And if you're going to execute judgment on the kings that are on your heart, you bind them with fetters of iron. What? That's what the word said. Y'all believe the word. How y'all binding demons? That's what it said right here, see? No, they tell you now, if you want to win over on something and do something, that it says, if we're going to rob the house, because truly, if the devil is coming to rob your house, what's the first thing he's going to do? He's going to sneak in. And he go what? He going to bind up the man, the head of the house. If he at home, he going to bind him up first. Because he know he ain't going down without a fight. So he binds up the man. And then he binds up the rest of the family with all sorts of demonic activity that's going on. So if that's what he's going to do, if it works for him, then how come you don't do it? Seems like to me you just ought to go into the throne of your heart and start binding up the strong man. You bind up the king. Sometimes you don't really know because there's so much stuff going on in your life, you might not exactly be sure what you're dealing with. But if you bind the strong man, because the word of God said that if you bind the strong man with fetters of iron, and then ask the Holy Ghost to reveal to you who's in the court. I'm beeping. Who's in the court? And you can find out which demon are working and operating with the strong man. And I guarantee you, if you stay on it and don't back off. You see, David didn't back off when he was in the fight. When David got ready to fight and he went out to go after, to bring back, you know, when they stole everything and David had to go out and get it? He didn't stop till he pursued, overtook, and brought it all back home. He didn't leave nothing out there. And that's what God is telling us today. execute judgment on the kings, and then that, and you will be able to bring back and take back all that the devil has stolen from you. But you can only do that if you execute judgment on the kings that have set themselves up in the high places in your life. Jesus is King of Kings and He is Lord of Lords. And on His behalf, you can loose angels. You can loose the King of Terrors upon the enemies of your soul and spirit. In Job 18 and 14, His confidence shall be rooted out of His tabernacle, and it shall bring Him to the King of Terrors. Now, in some translations, it says the King of Terrors is death. But I like to think that for demons, the King of Terrors is God Himself. So you lose the King of Terrors upon the devils. I understand that it says that demons fear Him and panic at the mention of this particular verse. And I would imagine that since Jesus is the name that all demons bow to somehow or another, you know, that just all connects to me. I mean, you know, I'm one of those people that like a good battle and I kind of watch things. So if it's the King of Terror and God is against the devil and everything that He puts out toward us, then it could be that God Himself is a terror to the enemy. What do you think? You think maybe that might be, you think maybe He loves you that much? That He would be a terror to the enemy in your life? Amen. In Job 18 and 11, it says that terrors shall make him afraid on every side and shall drive him to his feet. Oh, so is that another one of those things that you can use to drive the king off of the throne of your heart? That you can loose terror upon the devil? Wow, that's a little different. He looses terror upon you. I mean, why can we just loose terror upon Him? You know, I always like those prayers. Right now in Jesus' name, I bind the devil in the name of Jesus and I loose terror in his camp. I loose fear. I loose confusion on his camp right now. People started to really, I always think that's great because that's definitely what he's doing to you. He's loosing fear. He's loosing terror upon you on a constant basis. So you are constantly setting up barrages. You're constantly in a battle. And that's where your shield of faith comes in at. Your shield of faith against the wiles of the enemy as he keeps coming and he keeps coming. But you cannot be afraid. Terror means a state of intense fear or a frightening aspect. Terror shall make the wicked afraid on every side and drive him or chase him, nipping at his heels. Can't you just see terror nipping at the heels of all these demons that have been chasing you? These demons that have set itself upon your heart so that you cannot fulfill or reach the destiny that God has for you? This verse should work on your demons who are particularly stubborn. In Genesis 35 and 5, it tells us that we can loose the terror of the Lord. In Job 27, 20 through 22, it says, terrors take hold on him as water. A tempest stealeth him away in the night. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth as the snow. Windstorms hurleth him out of his place, and hurleth him without pity and unsparingly. They're thunderbolts of wrath. He flees in haste before its power, before the power of terror. So you can see that the Word of God offers us direction in executing judgment on the evil kings of our flesh so that we can recover all that they have stolen. But now you do have a responsibility in this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 and 31. 1 Corinthians 7:1 said, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Be honest with yourself. Once the enemy has been identified, admit it and begin executing judgment. For once you begin, don't draw back. There are some things that you're going to have to stop doing so that you can be focused. This is a part of your responsibility now of getting the kings, those things that are not God, out of your heart. Sometimes we get busy doing things. Sometimes I would get busy in the community. And everybody wants a little help. Everybody wants you to help them do this. Everybody wants you to help them do that. And I have finally come to the conclusion, and I'm sure some of you more mature Christians came to the conclusion before me, that I'm not God. I can't help everybody. I can't help everybody. You know, so you just have to back up and cut things off. And know what it is that God wants you to do. And if He doesn't tell you to do it, then don't do it. And don't worry about what people have to say. Because that's also one of the kings on our heart. Is we're concerned about what man has to say. And we spend too much time being concerned about what man has to say about me. Or what my mama might say if I do this. Or what my sisters and brothers might say if I do this. Well, they already think you're crazy, and the women and I have already decided that and know a fact that 6 out of 10 people are schizophrenic and the other 4 are in deception. So just accept it. We did. We just all said, well, okay, so we'll just all be part of the 6 because they already think that we're crazy anyway. And the Bible said that He would take the foolish to confound the wise, but let's just keep them confounded. And keep doing what God says to do. Because in this world, the things that God calls us to do is so different from what the world is doing, we look crazy anyway. So don't worry about it. Just go along with the program and keep doing what God tells you to do as you execute judgment on the demons that have set themselves in your heart. Do not get drawn into the community and doing so much that you wear yourself out. Because when you start wearing yourself out, you can believe that Leviathan, that little self-will has crept in there and it's kind of got you thinking that you can be everything to everybody at any time. And that's not true. That selfishness, that self-will. Because God is not going to burn you out. And He also knows that there are certain people that you're going to want to help, but He knows their future. He knows their past. He knows their future. And He knows that if you do such and such right now to help them, you'll be casting your pearls before the swine. Wait for the momentum of God and know when you get ready to help somebody that it is at the exact timing that it needs to be. That's the only way you can help anybody. The other thing, now I'm finna dig in. I love y'all. Y'all, thank you so much. It's them religious demons we got. It's them religious demons. It's the ones we get and we stand behind. Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alrighty now. Alrighty now. It's them, you got to discard the religious show and what you think the rest of the church is going to think about you when you let on and you are willing to cry out to God for deliverance from that demon that's on your heart. Because you know that somebody going to say something. You know they're going to say something, especially if you're not especially if you're in the traditional church. And all of a sudden the preacher hits a really good note and you go, glory, and everybody look at you. See, but that's going to be your deliverance. Now, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want that deliverance? Do you care? All right now. Remember, you said it. You said you don't care. So you got to discard religious show when you are set your mind up to execute judgment on the kings that have set themselves up in your heart. Let's go to Romans 12 and 21. Yeah, I don't like this Bible. It's got the little marks on the side. Instead of going where I know to go, you'd be looking at the little yellow tags. You get all confused. Where's Romans? Take these tabs off my Bible. I can find it better without. Romans 12 and 21. Let's hear what Romans 12 and 21, it says. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, what does that mean? It means obey to overcome evil with good and overcome the desires that come up in your flesh with the word of God. Oh, wait a minute. Overcome the desires of your flesh with the word of God. I think y'all forgot that, right? when the pressure got on, and the pressure got on, and it was too little money and too much rent and not enough for the phone bill and all the rest of it, y'all forgot about the word that said, I am blessed. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I am the head and I'm not the tail. And that God is going to show up even if he is Jehovah Nicotine and take care of it. Okay. So, I just said, for those that y'all want to hear, use the word in the time of stress, and if you can't think of nothing else, just go, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Okay? All right. There is a now, somebody's not going to like this. So, I hope they don't turn the tape off right now. Or the CD. I hope they keep it rolling. Because this one right here, there is a time to rebel contrary to general belief. There are times when you got to rebel against your flesh. When tempted, rebel. Do the opposite of what the flesh says. You force your mind and body to get up out of the bed and get in action. Then read the word and pray. Amen? Rebel when you are tempted to be in resentment or anger or spite or be offended by something that somebody has said. Be nice. And go out of your way and do something nice for them. See, rebel against your flesh. Because you know what you want to say. You know what you want to do. I don't have to be in the car with y'all when somebody just snap right in front of you and almost make you run into the back of them and you are late on your insurance. I know what you said. I know what you said, see, but that's okay. That's okay. Stubbornness and rebellion give reason to leave the church. Oh, I'm leaving now. It has made me mad. It made me mad. I brought Uncle JoJo up here to get buried, and that pastor didn't say nothing. Did you see that? And we gave him $50. And he didn't say nothing over Uncle JoJo. I just thought he would have said such and such and such and such. Listen to that rebellion. Listen to that rebellion and the stubbornness. When your flesh wants you to leave the church, when your flesh wants to curse, when your flesh wants to yield to temptation because that man looks so good or that woman looks so good, you need to rebel and break out against your flesh and flee like Joseph did in the opposite direction.
Amen.
That's the only kind of rebellion that is thanks to God you need to be full of.
Amen.
Amen. Now there's that thing called pride. Here we are again with Leviathan now. Now you know when it comes up. You know, when Leviathan comes up and that pride come up, I tell you, it's an ugly thing. It can be very ugly on the saints of God. Because it makes you do stuff that you have to go back later on and apologize for.
Yeah.
And then don't tell nobody you've been out to Lake Hamilton and you got to go back and apologize twice because they want to know, would you waste your time when you went out there? Mm-hmm. We thought you was getting deliverance out there. You've been back here to apologize to me twice about this same thing. Now, if you are going to execute judgment on this demon, then you're going to have to humble yourself, which is also rebellion of the flesh. Because there's something about humility that most people just can't deal with. But just look at what you get if you humble yourself. The grace of God pours out on you. His unmerited favor becomes yours for the asking. When you rebel against your flesh and operate in humility as opposed to pride. Sound like a real good exchange to me. John 15 and 5. Let's go there. Ooh, it's in red.
Amen.
John 15 and 5, it's in red, y'all. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth
much fruit. For without me, ye can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Oh, well, if you stay connected to the vine, Jesus, through his word, prayer, and worship, the Holy Ghost working in and through us will overcome every negative influence in your life. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. So if Jesus is the vine, and we always know Jesus is hooked up to God, and we're the branches, then the same blood that runs through him runs through us. That same Zoe energy that raised Jesus from the dead works in us. Well, see, like the ladies and I learned, we be too busy running around with the chickens to realize that we can actually fly. We can actually fly. We can actually be eagles and just fly over all the chicken dung and just go right on into the eye of the storm and be on the other side of our obedience and on the other side where Jesus wants us to be, where God has predestined for us to go so that we can fulfill the destiny and the calling of God upon our lives. This is a biggie, number five. Now, if you know that you are connected, now understand that you have to be accountable to those around you. Ooh, submission. Oh, but see, that's only if you want to get rid of the kings that's on your heart, that set themselves up in the throne room of your heart, that keep you from fulfilling your destiny and hearing the voice of God very clearly. Now, that's just only if you want to take responsibility for your part of it. See, God can come through and deliver us immediately of anything that he wants, and he has already. But there comes a time when you got to pay up. And see, paying up for God is really not that hard. When you think about the chicken farm that he brought you out of and all the dung that you were in, how easy is it for you to just go, oh, hey, it's on now. Come on, where we going? What you want me to do? I'm that in love. You know, I have my challenges. There's still some things here that I need to deal with, but I know where he brought me from. I know where I was when he caught me just before I died. I know where I was. And that's what it was a love thing. I finally realized how much he really loved me. Now, y'all, I know y'all ain't gonna play with me on this. Y'all know how silly you can get when you're in love with somebody. Now, you know that. We be silly. We do silly things. Women be stalking their men outside the house at 3 o'clock in the morning to see who else car parked out in front of his house. And the men been doing the same thing. We done some silly things all in the name of love. But see, this is the kind of love that doesn't change. The Holy Ghost don't stalk you. He just be there all the time. That's his job. And all of a sudden you realize the things that you used to do, you don't do no more. You don't get no joy in doing them anymore. And all you can think about is, let me hurry up and get home so I can read the word. You begin to rebel so much against your flesh that you begin to enter into the kingdom of God, into that spirit realm where he lives. And he begins to draw upon you that thing that he placed on the inside of us from the beginning of time. That thing that he's been trying to get us back to ever since Adam and Eve fell and ate the apple, the fruit. Might not have been apple, I don't know. Yeah. Be connected and accountable to those around you, particularly those with whom you are called to serve, to those who know and love you. These are the people who recognize when you begin yielding to the inner kings within your heart and soul. These are the real friends, the true friends. These are the God-ordained connections that will help you to identify and eliminate the inner enemies and better produce the fruit of God in you. So if you're around a bunch of yes people, you better get out. I don't want to be around a bunch of yes people. If I got toilet paper on my shoes, somebody tell me before I go out in public. If my skirt is caught in my pantyhose and somebody pull my skirt. Come on now. say, girl, you look so good today, you better lick them teeth, throw that lipstick all over your teeth. Oop, girl, thank you. Then all your best friend walk up to you and say, man, I love that suit, but you better zip that fly. These are true friendships. People who are not afraid to tell you what you really are and what they see in you. And these are the ones that you want to be around, the ones that have proven time and time again that they agape you. That's a part of your responsibility to be able to submit to true friendship and to know those people who love and care for you. And you can know that. You really can know that. All you have to do is realize that every time there's a shift or a change in your life, who's there? And you have to also realize that everybody that's a friend may not be with you everywhere you're going to go at all times because there are seasons of change now. Some people can't fly with you. They just going to be chickens. But guess what? There are people that are supposed to take care of the chickens at the chicken house so the chickens can hatch. And then when the chicken finally decides it's not going to be a chicken no more, that it's going to fly, that person is the person to tell them, you can fly. Everybody got a place. Know your place. Be willing to accept responsibility for getting the kings that are not supposed to be there out of your heart so that you can fly with the eagles and do what God's called you to do and or do what God calls you to do. Psalm 35 and 13. Let's go there. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting and my prayer returned into my own bosom. Well, do I need to say more about what number six is? Nothing weakens the enemy like fasting. A program of regular fasting is a death bell to those kings that would carry your emotions and your vision and your destiny into captivity. People who tell me that God has never told them to fast, I wonder who they're listening to. Because at some point in time, there's some fasting you're going to have to do. A very good friend and I, mine, and I found out that we had to give up watching Star Trek because too much fantasy. You know, I loved comic books when I was a little girl coming up. Loved to watch movies and stuff like that. You know, but there is a point and there is a place where you have to cut that off. Because that can also become a king in your heart, that fantasy, that desire to escape, that desire to get away. So you have to kind of cut that stuff off. And sometimes that stuff is connected to arrested development, but you can buy the tape on that one or the CD. So fasting, make it a regular thing in your life. You know, and there are different ways to fast. Make sure that you hear God and make sure it's a God-called fast. Because a God-chosen and a God-called fast brings with it many, many, many benefits. Amen? Amen? Amen. Sometimes he may just say, look, you know, you need to cut the cable off. I cut the cable off mine. I was like, okay, fine with me. You know, it may just be cutting the cable off. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be food. You know, or it may be just cutting the cable off. Or it may be that you cannot get past pralines and cream ice cream. That when you sit down, you gonna eat that whole pint. Or them Hostess Twinkies or something. You know? Whatever that thing is that you like the most, give that up for a while. Give that up for a while. Don't buy so many music CDs. You know what I'm saying? Give something up that you really like to do as unto the Lord. So that he knows that you really realize that whatever you've given it up, he's going to bless you twice as much as you give up. You really ain't giving up nothing. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that you live a life of regular fasting. Let's go to Galatians 5 and 16. Ooh, the little tab worked real good for Galatians. It get lost. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Woo! Then Ephesians is right there. There it is. All right. Galatians 5 and 16. Now this is the good part. This is the good part right here. Galatians 5 and 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit,
and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, if you've done all of these other things and you've been as responsible as you know how to get that demon off of the throne of your heart so that God can take his rightful place in your heart, in your mind, and in your will, and in your emotions. If you walk in the Spirit, see the good in things. Stop always counting the ugly stuff. Ugly stuff is always going to be here. Look for the good in people. Look for the good in places. Look for the good in things. All you're doing is fulfilling Philippians, right? Isn't it in Philippians? That tells us all these wonderful things that we need to speak forth out of our mouth. Speak on these things. Think on these things. Things that are good. Things that are pure. All the Bible is just confirming itself. That's all. That's what you need to be doing. You need to see through the eyes of God. See each other through the eyes of God. We're all a works in progress. Nobody in this room has arrived. We already know that six of us sitting in here are schizophrenic and the other four are in deception. So what do you call it? It's like the pot calling the skillet black. Wake up. Smell the coffee. We all came in under Adam. We all came in under sin. And the devil found a little spot inside of us and kept hitting it and building stuff until we're almost distorted until we met Jesus. And he began to bring us back into him and to shape us and to make us into that God created us to be from the beginning of time. And that's why I pray the way that I do sometimes. I say, God, I pray right now for the people of God. I bind all mind-blocking, mind-binding spirits. Give them the mind and the will and the emotion, the personality and the character that you created for them to have from the beginning of time. Not what Mama said, not what Joe said, not what Uncle Bubba said, but the mind of Christ, that thing, that person that God created you to be from the beginning of time. That's where you want to get to. Everything else is fake. Everything else is man's opinion of who you are. I was so messed up. I was with the bed one night. I said, oh, God, if you'll just tell me who I am. Just make it clear. Just make it clear. Tell me who I am, and I'll be that. I'll do that. And 3 days later, and I'm going to show you how messed up I was, because it was 3 days later, and it took calling me up by the apostle in front of a crowd of almost 3,000 people to say, you Phoebe. That's who I call you. So, you know, you gotta watch what you say to God. How was I gonna be anything but Phoebe with 3,000 people sitting there looking at me going, hi, Phoebe. Gotta fix you up. Gotta fix you up. See, I ain't going backwards now. I know who I am. See, my mama called me Carol Louise. Carol means warrior. Song of the Lord. Louise means song of the Lord. And Phoebe means that I may not forget Mary. I didn't read anywhere in the Bible they said Phoebe got married. I was like, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. So you'll never find me on the altar praying for a husband, y'all. I took him at his word. I'm okay with that. I'm okay. I'm okay. Walk in the Spirit. See all the good. See through the eyes of God. Serve the Lord in practical ways. The activities of the Spirit will strengthen you, and it will strengthen your flesh will weaken. You will become disinterested in the serving of your inner kings as you are fulfilled in the things of God. These are the 7 steps to your responsibility to battling the kings that are on the throne of your heart. When you do those things, then the word of Lord that tells you how to bind and loose becomes second nature to you. Because when you get your flesh in order and then you hook it up with the Holy Ghost, then y'all really headed for some good change and transformation in your life.
Because you've done your part, we know the Holy Ghost going to do His part. And so now you hooking up. You in the vine. You connected. You are going to get rid of those demons that are harassing and harassing you. Amen? Destroy the ruling spirits and kings and princes in your life so that you may live a fulfilling life. There are scriptures in the Bible that tell you what you can do to demons that keep messing with you. You can lose darkness. You can lose trouble. You can lose anguish. You can lose fear. You can ask the Lord to get them caught up in nets and snares and traps that they have laid for you. Let them fall into it. You can lose destruction. You can drive them into the wilderness. You can smite them. You can throw them into pits. You can throw them into coals of fire. You can lose arrows on them. You can use blindness and indignation, anger and confusion on them, and shame, and scatter them. You can put them in burning pits. The whirlwind of the Lord. Send the whirlwind of the Lord into the camp of the enemy of your heart. Send the angels of the Lord into the camp of your heart and let them pull the tares from the wheat. Because only they can do that. Half the time we're so messed up we don't know the difference between the wheat and the tares in our heart. The personality that we have today, we think that's our personality, but it might not just be. So let God do that work. Let Him pull the wheat and the tares from your heart. So when He's finished, you really are that He created. Beautifully and wonderfully made. And you have to speak to yourself. Not based on what somebody else said. Not even what you see today. But you speak prophetically to yourself by the Word of God. I am beautifully and wonderfully made. God makes no mistakes. I have the mind of Christ. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm a joint heir to Jesus Christ. My Father is rich with houses and many lands. I don't know poverty because my Father doesn't know poverty. I expect a miracle because He created a miracle for my father, Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph. They walked through the Red Sea on dry land. That's what my Father can do. I don't know what your daddy doing. See that word. You know, you got to say that word. That word be good. That word will fix you right up. That's the best fix you can get is the Word of God. You can lose flame and fire of the Lord and confusion into the enemy's camp. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 75:12 and let's see what it says there. I tell you right now, I'm so caught up I don't even know what it says and I wrote it down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 75:12. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 75:12. Oh, that wasn't right. Yes, 76. Who said that? That was right. 76:12. He shall cut off the spirit of the princes. He is terrible to the king of the earth. Woo-wee. See, you need to commit that one to memory. See, that'd be one of them scriptures you get to talking about when things get a little tight. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's see what Psalms 83:11-17 says. And I'm learning from those seasoned ministers that go before me. I'm just about ready to close down because I know it's hot and y'all can't take no more than y'all can, you know. You know what they always say. Y'all can't receive no more than y'all can sit on or something. Psalm 83:11-17. This is it now. Remember, this is it. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeab, yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish. Don't that sound good? It's biblical, see? It's biblical. It wasn't even nothing I thought of. That came out of the Bible. So, I mean, y'all can use it. And when you use it, it's going to have power. It's going to do what it says. Why? Because God's Word is going to go out and do what it says it's going to do. Amen? Ooh-wee. I love it. I love it. Well, praise God. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. We thank you, Father God, that this word shall go forth and do what it's been sent to do. We thank you, Father God, that it falls on good ground, that it is good seed, and it shall flourish, and the fruit of the Lord shall grow in the hearts of the people. We thank you, Father God, that they have the mind of Christ and the heart of God. We thank you, Father God, that we will execute judgment against the kings and the nobles that have set themselves up in our hearts to deter and take us away from the destiny that you have predestined for us. We thank you, Lord, that we will study your word. We thank you, Father, that you shall soften our hearts and we shall begin to fast and to pray. We thank you, Lord, that your word is like honey to our lips. We thank you, Lord, that you are great I am. You are Jehovah Rapha. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us permission and authority to bind the kings and nobles with fetters of iron, and we also dip it in the blood of Jesus just to make sure that they go. And we thank you for that, God, because you said in your word that that was what we could do. Father, right now we come against mind-binding, mind-blocking spirits in the name of Jesus. We call them off the minds of the people, off the backs of the people in the name of Jesus. We come in, Father God, to teach our hands how to war and our fingers how to fight, God, in the name of Jesus. We come in, Father God, into your presence, for in your presence is fullness of joy. We thank you, Lord God, that you poured out your blessings upon us, that we are the children of God. We thank you that your word is true in our hearts. We thank you, Lord God, that every word that has been spoken over us today is a promise being made manifest in our life. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you all of the honor. We thank you, Father God, that you are our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for salvation and healing. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, that everyone here will leave under the sound of my voice, will leave changed by your word, changed by your spirit, that we will not be the same, God. We have come to take the kings off the throne of our heart. We want you, God. We want you and only you alone to reign supreme in our hearts, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, God. We give you all the praise, God. There is none like you. You are worthy, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we bind and break spirits of witchcraft and mind control and schizophrenia over the people of God. We bind and break it now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. We thank you and we praise you, God. We bind backlash and retaliation now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord. There is none like you. You are worthy. You are holy, God. And thank you that in that holiness you see us as perfect. Thank you that in that holiness you prepare us, O God, to be all that you have created us to be. Thank you, Father. Give you praise, glory, and honor. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless the food that is being prepared. Bless the hands that prepared it and the hands that serve it. Bless the children, God. Bless them that they will not leave this place the same. Bless them, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you and we believe you for it. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this CD.